KO4P B Mobile. 4PXB Mobile. This is K2HME. Name here is Dwayne.
Yep, my name is Lloyd. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Lloyd. We've chatted once before. It's been probably a couple of weeks. How are you this morning?
I'm getting ready to get off on Woodruff Road on the Highway 14, and it's been a great day so far.
Heading into the chiropractor to turn around and go back home and work from home today.
Yeah, the only time that we worked from home was when the COVID was going on, and because I work for Spartanburg County and I'm in the IT, so pretty much we always had to have somebody there all the time. So very seldom did they have anybody that was, you know, working from home. The programmers, they like work from home because they can program pretty much anywhere and submit their data. But when you got to put physically hands on the computer or server, then that's pretty much impossible to do remote.
Completely understand. Well, at least you can't contract COVID from a computer, right?
Probably not if it's yours that you can control, but I know they were talking about at one point in time that you could get COVID through, you know, the contact residue left on, you know, items.
I heard that, but they're starting to, some of that stuff they're pulling back, which is good, but I wonder, because I know with us, we're sharing desks. Well, not our department, but like our customer service and others that have, we just don't have the room for it, and so they're sharing desks. Some people work 2 days a week. Well, everyone works from home 3 days a week, and 2 days a week alternating, they come into the office. So, anyway, who knows, really? I mean, you catch a cold and a flu the same way. So, but thankfully, we're starting to see significant changes.
Yep, that is definitely a good thing. You can definitely tell when a virus or anything's actually slowing down because it does not mutate as quick and as often.
And it's good to see. And what's frustrating is, you know, the CDC came out and said that the masks, even those N95, have been ineffective. And I thought, how can we go from one side all the way to the other side from the same government agency? No wonder people were angry.
Yeah, that is truly understandable because the funny analogy on why the N95 masks were ineffective, one guy mentioned that when you can smell the fact that when you pass gas, you can still smell it through the mask, and then the COVID particles are even smaller than that. So if you could definitely smell that through your mask, then still getting COVID through the N95 was, you know, pretty much a given.
About that analogy, that was, I remember laughing. I'm thinking, yep, not a good thing. But, I remember when they had the N95s when they first were using them, and people were saying, you know, if you don't use a mask, you know, you're not being nice to fellow citizens, you know. And but what they didn't realize is that valve on the N95 was letting unfiltered air come flying out. So something didn't seem right, but you know, I wasn't gonna get in a fight or an argument over it because none of us had enough information to argue well.
Nope, and due to the fact that there's people in the medical side of it and people way above that, way above us, that look at those things and make their decision. And sometimes they may have no more information than we do.
For me, you know, I've got asthma, and I made the choice not to get vaccinated or not to wear a mask, and I've been fortunate. I've not caught COVID at all throughout this entire time. My wife got vaccinated. Whether she got it or not, you know, she's been sick a few times, but nothing, you know, none of the tests for her came back positive. So I don't know. I think it's a lot to do with our own lifestyles.
Yep, that is very true. Right before COVID was truly, you know, made aware to the public, and that November prior to that, when it just hit in force, you know, me and my wife got sick, and like I said, I had breathing issues, but then it was not even confirmed or mention of COVID. Like I said, you know, I was definitely sick there for a while before they were even saying that it was COVID. Like I said, but you know, as you can tell, I survived.
Age group where I remember a month or so ago, the Department of Health was coming out with ads about that 90% of the deaths from COVID were with people that were 50 years or older. And, you know, I was like, wow, I guess I dodged a bullet on that one. But it was, it's been an interesting time. And, you know, people have now started coming back to the office with colds. It's just a cold, or it's just an allergy. It's like, dude, that's what the problem is. You spread it to everyone else. Go home.
Yep, that is definitely true, because I heard on Family Feud yesterday that people think 9 times out of 10, or pretty much 9 people think that their job's important, that they have to be at work even if they're sick or not.
How many of those people are sick a good bit, and then when they really get sick, they don't have any time left to take off?
Yeah, that's definitely understandable, because most of the time, if I know where I work at, if you're going to be out 3 days or more, then you have to have a doctor's note, and you can file for the or turn in the paperwork for the FMLA, and it protects your job.
For a short time, I don't know, someone must have been coaching these employees on FMLA, because they had that thing down to a science. They'd work the minimum number of days. I mean, even after they got employed, they hit the past probation. Then they would go out on FMLA, and I think several of them were using the same doctor. But it was just unbelievable, because FMLA, you don't get anything.
I'd have been just buying their time on the FMLA until their short-term disability kicked in, and obviously somehow they were getting some kind of money to maintain.
Unbelievable. Kind of like the guy next to me. He's got all his windows down, his sunroof open, and his music cranked up, so hopefully I'm not rebroadcasting. But, it's very interesting how these government programs intended to help people actually have created a whole new class of individuals.
Yep, and I truly don't understand it, like other people don't, where people are more opt to sit at home and draw a disability or a government check than actually work when there were jobs available out there.
But if that's how they were raised, they don't. I think they do know deep inside, but it's one of those things that they can, you know, they suppress and eventually ignore. But I can't believe that all these people don't see it or don't recognize that it's not good for them or for the rest of the culture.
Part of it was that they were making more money sitting home than actually working, which just is. Definitely makes it where they, you know, pretty much they want it, they will do it, and other people will see, follow suit.
Yes, I've heard that too. I read an article now, it's probably been 6-8 weeks ago, that there was a study done, and they were able to show that depending upon where you live, you can make anywhere between $80,000 and $100,000 a year on government assistance. I think it takes, you know, it takes special skills to make it happen. But it was amazing to think that 80,000, I don't care where you live, 80,000 a year is a pretty good salary for not working.
You're not kidding. And one thing that's also upsetting that, you know, me and my wife are foster parents. We've been doing it like 14 years, and we've seen people that just take in kids for that. And even the system of the foster care makes it where the it's a money-making scheme where in a small room, one of the caseworkers told us one time that we could put four kids in that one room, and most of the time, like I said, sometimes it depends on what the level of the child is. The max level of a child that's a level three is about $900 and some odd, and when you put four kids in that one room, and that's just something I don't understand.
ME for ID. Yeah, that is amazing. That's it's just one room, $3,600 a month. Phenomenal.
That is just unbelievable. And the lady said, well, they just have to have one single drawer of a dresser to themselves. And me and my wife told them, said, you got to realize, especially as the child grows up, they need privacy in that room instead of putting four bunk beds in that room and have them all together and just that one single drawer for their personal belongings.
We fit our kids with everything possible, but one drawer per child is, wow, that's a pretty low bar.
Yes, sir, it is. And I'm truly glad, because I was in foster care myself, that so I know what these children have gone through. And one thing I truly don't understand, and me and my wife don't do this, if for some odd reason a child has to move or the caseworker wants it moved, that we'll get these plastic bins and put their stuff in it. But we've seen them been moved around before, and their clothes are in just black trash bags, which that just doesn't help the child's, you know, mental capacity in the least bit.
It's like, you know, my life is reduced to whatever the contents of this garbage bag is. Wow.
Yeah, it's like, that's why me and my wife make it, you know, our mission to, and we have done it, and we've told these kids when they come to us that we will treat you just like our own child, not a foster child, because that's what you are.
Totally different mindset versus those who are in it for what, or appear to be in it just for the money.
And I'm truly going to be honest, where the people that's an advocate for the child also creates it where the parent doesn't want to do things for that child, because the, in prime, like an example, when one of the guardian ad litem was, you know, gonna, you know, she was interviewing us for one of her children, and she told us, because the child was gonna have a baby, that when the child comes, she would have to be moved downstairs because she does not, you know, believe in or allow her children that have children to walk downstairs with a baby in their arm. And my wife and I told us that, well, you can just keep her. I said, sorry, we're not going to make concessions like that to where we're giving up our master bedroom for a child.
Yeah, that must have been a hard decision, knowing that a young child needs, you know, foster care, and yet the, like you said, the guardian ad litem is not looking out for their best interest.
Because, and she mentioned that when the child was in that room, that there would have to be a small refrigerator put in that room so that way she can store the baby milk in there and not have to walk, wake up and kind of half drowsy or whatever and walk to get the milk. She could just reach in that little refrigerator and get it. And I said, well, that really doesn't do any good when the milk has to be heated up anyway. We're not putting any kind of microwave or any kind of hot plate in the child's room.
That makes great sense, especially from a safety standpoint.
Yep. So, of course, that child didn't stay put. And me and my wife, one day, we were getting a girl that she was only going to come there for like 2 or 3 days until they found her some other place. And the girl was just mouthing off and, already talking that she didn't want to stay here and this, that, and the other. And, we were horrible people. And my wife said, you can just put her back in the car. And the girl got back in the car and they left. Never even come there.
Crazy, This entitlement mentality is just—it's permeated so much. It certainly isn't what made America great.
Definitely, certainly not. Where we've had kids come there around Christmas time and stuff like that, and I guess the system or us. When one of them wanted us to buy her a cell phone, we're going, sorry, we don't provide cell phones for the, we didn't even provide a cell phone for our own child, much less another child, because we didn't do that to my daughter till she was 16, and pretty much that's just not something that we thought she needed.
That's funny. We had a similar philosophy when our kids were growing up. We did not give them cell phones when they were in high school, and approaching to the point of driving. We offered, we said, yeah, if you want a cell phone, you can get it, but you got to pay for it. And they go, okay. And I said, that'll be $15 a month. Well, Dad, it costs $9.99 on TV. That's how. And I said, yeah, but they don't tell you that it includes taxes in there. And since taxes run about 40%, I'm putting a cushion of $1 in there and making it, rounding it to $15. So, you want the phone or not? No. So, but when they went out to college, it changed. Those that got full rides, I got them a cell phone simply because I'd rather them be studying and keeping their scholarship than having to worry about getting a job and pay for their phone.
One of the hardest things that people need, the hardest thing that people are having to do is tough parenting. You got forever and a day to be that friend. You only have a certain amount of time frame to be their parent.
You can be their friend, but you can't, from a friend, you can't be their parent.
Definitely not.
Apparently, that's what seems to have happened a lot, because there's a lot of folks out here that get so upset about everything. Now it's like, here I am, a 62-year-old white male. I'm afraid to say too much to the younger crowd. They're going to run to HR if I say something that wasn't, there's no ill intent, and I used a word that I was familiar with.
Yeah, that's definitely a very touchy subject where you just have to be careful. And my thought is for HR and places like that to provide training well ahead of time so that doesn't happen. And also people have to realize or should realize that not everything that is said or done like that means, something inoffensive. I mean, they may take it that way, but just ask and get an explanation first before going crazy.
Conversation to ask questions, before you immediately react. Obviously they didn't learn that in school.
You would think it would be, but when America and pretty much every place and everyone around is so happy that for the same, going back to the same reason that they would rather sue somebody for millions of dollars or whatever so they don't have to work anymore.
Copy that. Well, hey, I pulled right into the chiropractor's office. That was great timing. Hey, Lori, it's good to chat with you. And I hope you have a safe drive back into Spartanburg. And perhaps we can do this again soon. This is K2HME. I'll be clear on your final.
Please be careful with the chiropractor, and probably the people who were listening in today definitely had a fun time listening to these conversations.
4VWA. Lloyd, I hope you're the norm, not the exception.
Yep, I'm definitely the norm, because it just, being retired military, unfortunately I don't deal with stupidity very well, and I have definitely different thoughts than anything that's going in common today.
Like you have a good, solid, practical, loving approach to that. And, good government is not always so good.
That is definitely true. As the saying goes, there's two types of governments, good government and bad government. There is no in-between.
That's all mine this morning.
I'm right here at the exit, right before Asheville Highway, taking the side street, so I will definitely be to work in about 10, 15 minutes.
Good. So, do you have to cross over 85 to get into work?
Right. I pretty much get on 85, and then I'm getting right here off of exit 3 where that rider place is, right before the Asheville Highway. So I ride in 85, take the business, the bypass, and then just go that route through Howard Street, crossing over California Avenue.
Okay. Well, I thought you lived down at Simpsonville or towards Simpsonville.
Dude, I live in Simpsonville right there at the Holly Tree.
So you come up the back roads instead of getting right on to 85, don't you?
Due to the fact that a lot of times that time of morning the congestion's pretty bad, so it's easier to just take the back roads and then get on there as 85 is the least amount as possible.
No, I'm coming down Asheville Highway trying to get into a doctor's appointment this morning, and I never would have believed that I would be sitting on Asheville Highway approaching John Dodd Road in a line of cars trying to get through that intersection that is backed up all the way, halfway back up the hill towards 26.
It's probably due to all that construction that's going on there.
Actually, between here and 585 going into downtown, I don't know of any construction along there. This is just heavy, heavy traffic.
It's definitely strange.
Time. We'll just cool our heels. And, I'll let you go. You have a good morning, and just think about me in the traffic here. I'm just twiddling my thumbs for lack of anything else to do except looking at the taillights of a Chrysler 300. Have a good day, bud. 73's KN4VWA. I'm standing by.
Have a great day. It's KO4PXB.